Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
As we get going, in your Bible, if you would go to the book of Mark and just kind of hold your finger there at the front end. If you have your Bible, if you're a digital person, just go to the Gospel of Mark and we'll dive in. Today's obviously a special day for the meal as we celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's also special in that we celebrate and we honor those that have served our nation. I was thinking this week, there's not too many in my family that have served in the military. My dad did a short stint in the Army. But my sister, who lives in Australia, before marriage days, she was, kind of testing the market, so to speak, out in California. She was living out there, and it was about Christmas time, and she said, "Hey, there's a couple guys that, become friends with. One's in Australia. He's in the Royal Navy. He's here instructing, and so I'm thinking about bringing him home for Christmas." And I was like, "All right, that's cool." Because how many know, if you're a brother, your sister needs your approval. She didn't ask for it, but I was willing to give it. How many know what I'm saying? And then she was also kind of dating would sound right, because that's wrong, because she sounds like she was, playing the field a little bit. But there was another guy, and he was a Navy SEAL, that both of them were like pursuing my sister. And so Pete came home before Dave came out to meet the family. I don't know why she did it this way, but it is what it is. And so I had an opportunity to meet a Navy SEAL. He was in my house in Colorado. He sat on my couch right next to me, and I just stared at him. I said, "I bet you're intimidated right now, aren't you? Look at these." And Pete was a great guy, cool guy. But just to have like a Navy SEAL in my home growing up, I was just like, "Okay, you want my opinion on who you should marry? The SEAL dude's pretty tough. I could tell a lot of stories about a brother-in-law that's a SEAL, but the Australian guy, he's awesome too. He's great." And so doing the brother thing I had to do, I called out to Kay. I was talking to her, and she's like, "Hey, Dave's here." And I was like, "Put him on the phone. I want to meet him. I want to talk to him. I got some questions." And so she's handing the phone to him, and I didn't know it, but he got it to his ear before I finished what I wanted to say to my wife, who was on the other phone. Back in the day in the homes, we had like phones that were connected. Remember that? And I was like, "Robin, I'm going to grill this guy." And Dave heard me say it. And on the other end of the line, I hear this, "Oh, you're going to grill me, mate? Bring it on." And he's never let me live it down. And every time we get together, he's like, he makes fun of me, and I was, "Hey, dude, I'm just trying to be a good brother and make sure my wife or my sister is doing a wise thing dating an Australian." But anyway, going back to the SEAL thing, the SEALs have a code. It's interesting because if you know any history about, they've been around for a long time, but it wasn't until 2005 that they developed the SEAL code. And one of the parts of that code is this: to serve with honor and integrity on and off the battlefield. And I just want to springboard off a portion of that code. There's several bullet points to it, and I want to talk over the next few moments just about that very word, the word of honor. Webster defines honor as a good name or public esteem. It deals with reputation. Second definition is showing of unusual merited respect or recognition. Back in February, as a nation, we watched as many honored a man who was highly esteemed and respected in the public eye, as Billy Graham had completed his race and was laid to rest. How respected and honored was Billy Graham? By the end of his life, he had been voted one of the top 10 most admired men. 61 times he received that distinguished honor. More than any other person ever, Billy Graham received that. And he did that preaching a message that some would call hostile, some would call offensive. And he would preach that Jesus loves you, that you're a sinner. Jesus died for all of us, building a bridge so that we can have eternal life with the Lord. But yet there's this thing that's dividing you and keeping you from God. It's called sin and a very offensive message in our culture today. But yet here's a man, 61 times received such recognition. So let's talk about honor in a culture in many ways that has lost what honor means and giving honor to individuals. And really the big idea is this, as we look at our text from Mark chapter 6 this morning, is that a lack of displaying honor really hinders your potential and your possibilities. Our text is Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Let me just kind of give you some backstory real quick as we get going. Jesus is in his hometown. He was hindered from doing miraculous things because honor was lacking. Those that should have honored him most, it's his hometown, right? Honored him the least. The context of Mark 6 is Jesus is returning from this incredible tour of ministry back to his hometown. It wasn't his birthplace, but it was the place that he grew up in. He'd been a year prior to this visit, he was actually run out of his hometown, and his own people were threatening to kill him. And so now he comes back after his ministry tour, after his preaching tour, if you will. And on that tour, he's been teaching people about the truths of the kingdom of God. He's been praying for people, incredible miracles happening, the dead raised, the blind seeing, deaf ears opened, turning water into wine. That miracle won't happen here today. You know what I'm saying? Just incredible things. Multiplying loaves and fishes fed to thousands. He healed in this ministry trip, he healed Peter's mother-in-law, in which scholars believe that is why Peter denied Jesus later on in life, because he healed his mother-in-law, but we don't know. That's a joke, I'm sorry. So he's doing all this stuff and he heads home. And he gets there and he couldn't do nearly as much. Why? The Bible tells us because of a lack of faith and a lack of honor. Look at it, verse 1. And he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands?" I mean, there's this awe of this teaching that's happening, that's coming from him. His ability to connect with the crowds, the miracles that have been done. But in the next verse, we read this. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense to him. It's like, I know him. He was in my son's class and he was the teacher's pet. Drove me crazy, always got the stars. Wasn't that the guy who made the furniture that we sit on? Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household." See, without honor, as you look at that, a prophet is not without honor. When you break that down in the original language, without honor means to dishonor. It's to treat as common or ordinary. Do you want a common or ordinary, you want that in relationships or how you interact with people, then treat them without honor. Here's the deal. Treat your spouse as common. For those of us that are married, in this place. Treat your spouse as common, meaning without honor. Like, guys, don't open the door for her any longer. Don't do things that would show her that you value her or esteem her. And she'll feel very common. To ladies, it's like, you know, too often I hear, and I've been in situations where a spouse will start running down her spouse. And in that, just like tearing them down, it's like, wow, wait, stop. See, honor means to value, to respect, or highly esteem. It means to treat, listen, it means to treat as precious, as weighty, or valuable. It's to ascribe worth, to esteem and value. I don't know about you, like in all of our houses, I would gather that there's some things in our house that are like valuable, that they're highly esteemed, family heirlooms, if you will. In our house, in one of our spare bedrooms, is a rocking chair. And that rocking chair came from Robin's family. It's her grandma's rocking chair. And in that rocking chair, you know, her grandma, who Robin just thinks the world of, she's gone on to be with Jesus several really decades ago. She passed. But this like rocking chair is like so valuable. It's like that rocking chair is where Grandma Cox sang to me and sang hymns and read the scripture to me and shared stories with me. And it's just like highly esteemed and highly valued. It's this family heirloom. For some in the room, it's a rolling pin. It's just like the family heirloom, you know? And it's just like that rocking chair, though, once in a while in a cantankerous ornery moment, you know, when we're looking, hey, what can we get rid of? And what, you know, what's taking up space? I'll say, well, we don't use that rocking chair anymore. And this look comes across my wife's face. And it's just like, you touch my rocking chair, I'll break every one of your fingers. And she doesn't say that. But it's this valuable, I mean, it's so valuable. It's to ascribe worth. Honoring is to ascribe worth to someone. What does honoring do? All right, why is it so important for all of us in this place? Honoring esteems and lifts up. True? While dishonoring devalues and tears down. To honor someone is to believe the best about them. To dishonor is to believe the worst. Honor lifts, dishonor tears down. So let me give you an example. Several years ago, I was in a marriage counseling session with two individuals they were just at wit's end. Their marriage was a mess. And they called and asked me if I would sit down with them and really save their marriage, and to which I said, yeah, I can do that, but this marriage is not going to be saved in 1-hour-long session. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get out of here overnight. And we sat down, and I just began to listen. Why are we here? And then they just began to unload. And the wife was just began to unload, and man, it was just like, bam, just tearing on her husband, running him down, dishonoring him. And, you know, in some regards, he had done some things that were like, what just went through my mind, I can't say. But I was just like, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? But then I was like, wait, time out. Ma'am, sister, are you listening to yourself right now? How you're speaking to your husband? And she paused and she thought, wow, because it's so easy for us to get into a cycle, isn't it? We don't agree with a political party, what do? We don't agree with a colleague, what do? And we start just pinning people. People will use the excuse, all of us have, well, I can't treat them with honor because they're not honorable. How many of you know, respect is earned, honor is given? Think about it. The early church was admonished to honor admonish to honor governing officials, right? Governing officials that were killing fellow believers because of what they believed. And yet Scripture admonishes them to honor those who are in authority. Back to Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Watch how dishonor plays out here. And he could not do mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. Notice that it doesn't say he wouldn't. The Bible says he could not do any there but a few. That he was amazed at their lack of faith and their lack of honor. Their lack of faith and lack of honor was a barrier. And unfortunately, we're living in a culture that is in many ways without honor or doesn't give honor, or we live with an attitude of, you prove yourself to me and then I'll honor you. Let's get practical. Who are we to honor? Well, it's very clear, first off, that we're to honor our parents. And the funny thing is that doesn't end once you graduate and you head out into the world and you're on your own. Honoring our parents made God's top 10, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I mean, nothing frustrates me more when I see a kid dishonoring their parents. In our house, when our kids were younger, obviously, they're grown, and we're empty nesters, and so parties at our house this afternoon because we're going to be bored, but we can make snowman together. But anyway, when they were younger, and, you know, as kids do, they just get snippy every now and then, like all of us do, and we'd get grumpy and get sassy and start talking back to Robin, start talking back to their mom. And she would tell me, or I would be in the room, and that would happen. And I'd be like, wait, time out. Just in case you forgot, She was my wife before she was your mom, and you don't talk to my wife that way, or we're going to talk. And they were like, because they need to learn, though they may not like something or like a decision or whatever, they need to learn to honor those who are in authority over them. And then we would go get the soap, just to make sure they understood. No, we didn't do that. Oh, I did it a couple times. Don't turn me in. Dealing with my parents' situation. My parents, if, in case you're visiting there, we moved here not quite four and a half years ago. 3 weeks into unpacking here, my dad fell at church and got a brain bleed. And so my mom has Alzheimer's. And so within 3 weeks of being here, that unfolded in our world. And Robin ran out to bring my mom back as my dad was recovering in the hospital, not knowing what was going to do, not knowing if he would survive, not knowing what was the next step, because my parents were being stubborn and not making plans for their future. They left it up to their kids, unwillingly. And so we brought my mom back to live with us. We were still living over in the parsonage. Hadn't found a house yet, and then my dad eventually recovered enough to be able to make the trip out here, and now they're living in Newton in a care facility. But I remember gathering with my sisters probably that first Christmas after that had just blown up. I mean, our world was just blown up in a big way, and everything was out of kilter, stressful, just like overwhelming. And I can remember sitting in our kitchen with my sisters and saying, you know what? I'm doing this. We're doing this. We've brought them here because it's a way that I can honor mom and dad and have them close, have them in a place that is doing an incredible, incredible, incredible job caring for them, way beyond anything that I could do. Showing honor doesn't, you don't just hit a mark in your life where you're excused from that. It's a life, it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Secondly, we honor those in authority. In authority, those who God has placed in authority over us. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Show honor to those who are in authority over you. Your teacher, your boss, your administrator, your parents, whoever is in that position. You learn to honor. You learn to be under so that someday when you're promoted over, you can lead well. And you remember of honoring others. In the home, God, through Scripture, you see structure laid out in the pages of Scripture. There's structure in the home, right? And if I could just talk to the ladies, your husband or your dad, for the kids in the room, he may not be the best leader, but honor him. Treat him as less, talk down to him or about him, and he'll not feel empowered. But honor him and watch him grow and watch him glow. And it's not about being fake. It's not about saying something about somebody that, man, it's nowhere in the neighborhood of them being such a person. But it's about speaking life into others. Husbands, doing that to your spouse as well. That you would honor her and model you honoring her to your kids and to those that are around. Man, opening, you know what happens? We get familiar with one another, don't we? I mean, there was a day where, guys, maybe you opened the door for your spouse. I mean, don't you touch that door. I'm going to open that door for you. And then time passes, and you're like, it's raining out here, man. I want to get in the car quick or whatever. And so we get lazy, and we quit opening that door. I mean, I believe in that. I don't do it all the time. There's times that I fail. But I believe in showing honor. And if that's a way that I can esteem and highly esteem my wife, man, I'm going to do it. Because I don't do it selfishly, but I'm going to reap the rewards of that. And so just doing that and honoring each other and letting one another know that you're valued, valuing your kids, speaking honor into your kids. I mean, as parents, that was one of our goals, that you know what? It's just not my kids' job to honor me, but how can I honor them? So that they learn how to honor, because it's been modeled to them, and that we would have a home that has a culture of honor. How I talk to Robin, am I honoring her? Because there's little ears and little eyes watching me. Now they're grown, but they'll be grandkids someday. So let's talk about the last one I want us to look at, all right? It would be easy for me to avoid this, and it is honestly a little bit uncomfortable to talk about it because I don't want it to seem self-seeking. And it's not. It's biblical. And God knows my heart, and so I have to be true to Scripture, and I have to be true to Him. But I think in our culture, this has faded a little bit, but let me just say this: honor your pastor and your church leaders. We show honor to those who are instructing, investing, and leading us spiritually. I say that, and I don't say it. Please, again, hear my heart. It's not a self-seeking thing. It's not because I have a bone to pick, because LifePoint does an incredible job. I really mean that with all my heart. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. See, I say this because it's a biblical mandate that we honor those who are in spiritual authority over us. I would much rather have the elders talk about this and me be able to leave the room and not have to bring this, but you need to know that I'm a person that has spiritual authority over me. So I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not needing and commanded to do as well. I mean, Pastor Terry and Karen Yancey, who are our Kansas district superintendents, he's my pastor, man. And I'm to honor him. And here's the tragedy of when people don't do that spiritually. We've been have had privileges to serve in a number of churches, and we've served in a church or two that went through a season of not honoring their pastor. And what that created within them was this attitude and this spirit that literally destroyed the church. It was a season of not honoring their pastors, their senior pastor, and they treated us wonderfully, but man, they ran their senior pastors through the muck. And it was a spirit thing. And again, I can talk about this because LifePoint has been great. There is no agenda. The elder board is great. Our staff is great. So here's something I want you to do. Okay? Kind of moving on from that. Not just today or in coming weeks, but make it a routine of yours. And before I get to this, let me just say this in honoring your pastors and spiritual leaders. Because the easiest thing to do, okay, this is a teaching moment, all right? When you don't agree with someone, the easiest thing to do is just to walk away and not have conversation. Right? That's not how you would want to be treated. That's not how you deserve to be treated. And sometimes those conversations will bring about health in your life, but also the health in the leader. Because how many know all of us need to grow? Can I see your hand? Because I have two of mine raised. Right? All of us need to grow. All of us need to develop. So how can we honor? We honor those who are in spiritual authority. We honor our parents. We honor those who are over us in leadership capacities. And here's the admonition. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. And look what he says. Outdo one another in showing honor. The New Living puts it this way. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I love that. Man, that's challenging to me. That I'm to take delight in honoring people that I don't maybe necessarily agree with, or I might have a different perspective on how we're to govern life, but to honor them. Did you catch it? To outdo one another in what? Showing honor. You know what honor means? Honor means that you're going to step in front of the bus. In some cases, it means that you're willing to step in front of the bus to protect someone than to throw them under the bus. It's turning the conversation when someone is about ready to go negative in a conversation about somebody that's not at the table, that they're just piping off because they're frustrated, right? It's turning that conversation so honor is given. I mean, it's given. You're right. There's things that our president does that I'm just like, wow. But I honor him because I honor the position. And we got to turn some of those conversations. Parents, when you pick up your kid today down the hallway, can I encourage you, show those workers honor. When you see folks working in the kitchen, bringing out food and running back and forth to bring out more food, show them honor. You want a great marriage? Let me tell you how to have a great marriage. Outdo each other. You lift them up, you encourage them, you highly esteem them, and show value. Again, that doesn't mean that you never address issues that need to be addressed, but you do it in a way that's going to be building up. You lift them up and watch as they grow into what you speak over them in faith, and you highly esteem them by showing honor and value, because the reality is that why screech like a crow when you can sing like a canary over people? I mean, Robin, man, I honor you. You are incredible. And I'll honor you in private, and I'll honor you in public, because you are, well, as Michael Jackson would say, knock me off of my feet, baby. To the staff and to the elders, to Michael and Nathaniel's down the way, working with our kids, and to the elders, I honor you. Thank you for being willing to step into the fight and to lead this congregation and to make yourself available and to work for the staff, to work long hours and sometimes unseen and unrecognized in what you do, even by me. Thank you. And most importantly, to Jesus Christ, I honor him because of what he did and what he rescued me from and what he has planned for my future. And to you, LifePoint Church, I honor you because you put up with me. And I honor you because you are daring and willing enough to be the church, not within the four walls of this building, but out in our community. I honor you because it would be easier, I know, to stay in bed at times. I honor you because it would be easier to look the other way at times and not get have skin in the game. But I honor you because you're willing to be the church and to be an active church. I honor you because you're willing to love. I honor you because you've decided to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why is it that we are in a culture, Michael, if you would come, why is it that we are in a culture without honor? Why is it so prevalent? How come that's growing? I think it's an easy answer. It's because we don't honor God. This God isn't ordinary. God is not common. He is the creator, the redeemer, the rescuer. He is the great I am. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Lord Almighty. It's told that there were seven home run bats that were autographed by Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was an incredible baseball player of yesteryear, for those of you who don't know him. And one of the very first one was lost for decades. One of the very first bats that he had autographed was lost. Nobody knew where it was. And they found out where it was. They had traced it back. And what happened was, years ago, his agent gave it out at a home run contest. And this guy won the prize, won the bat, and then he just kind of disappeared. And they didn't know where he was or where it went to. And for years, he kept this as an honored possession. And on his deathbed, he had outlived all his family members, so he couldn't pass it on to them. He gave it to a nurse, to a woman who was taking care of him, who was serving him in his last days. And he spoke to this nurse, "You are the closest person to me that is family, that could be family, and I know and love you." and I want to give you my most valuable possession. She didn't know a lot about baseball. She didn't know anything about Babe Ruth, but she knew that she was pretty special. As he gave her, that nurse, that bat with Babe Ruth's autograph on it. And so she kept it in a safe place under her bed in honor of the guy who gave it to her for years. And as time progressed, she came upon hard financial times. And she was trying to open up a business. So she thought, I wonder if that bat is worth anything. She took it down to the sports place and said, is this bat worth anything? And the guy behind the counter, his eyes just got so big. And he walked out and grabbed somebody and brought him back in. And the expert said, this is actually, we think, the very first bat of seven that was autographed by Babe Ruth. So it went to auction, and in 2006, it was sold for $1.3 million. The lady was able to open up a restaurant, and she took the remaining money and started a foundation to serve children that Babe Ruth wanted to serve at the end of his life. And when the reporter asked her, why did you put all of that money into a foundation to help others? She said, that bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's signature, his name was on it. So the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life because he made it valuable. And so she started this foundation. Can I just remind you that you are valuable because of what Jesus did for you? If you're a believer in this place, you are valuable because his name is written on your heart. You are valuable because Revelation tells us that all of us in this room, all of us under the sound of my voice, whether they're watching online or not, have the possibility and the potential to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. That Jesus wants your name there. And the only reasonable response we have is to do something with our lives to honor him. Honor my admonition to you as we transition to eating a meal together is to honor God with your life. God has, and if he hasn't, he wants to sign his name across your life. That is the most valuable signature that you can have. And that is a signature that says, you are worth so much to Almighty God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, as we bring our time and your word to a close, lest I miss my guess, all of us recognize times in our life where we have failed to give honor to those that are either over us, to our parents, to spiritual leaders, to our spouse, to our kids, to our parents, and God, to which, Lord, we repent. I realize, Lord, that as we talk about honoring our parents, there's some in the room this morning that their home is anything less than peaceful and admirable, and their parents haven't done well in leading and being worthy of honor because they haven't lived a life worthy of respect. And God, for those to whom this applies, that applies to, God, I pray for grace. I pray for mercy. And God, through such a message as this, that they would know that they're honoring you by honoring their parents, honoring those who are over them. Doesn't mean that they agree. It doesn't mean what was done was right or any of that. But Lord, we want to be responsive to your word. So Lord, help us in those relationships where it's difficult to live a life that is giving honor. And God, I pray for all of us right now, person on our left, person on our right, when we go home, when we interact with people at our place of work tomorrow or at our school. God, that we would make it our ambition to do what Corinthians admonished us to do, to outdo each other. Outdo each other in honor. And so, Father, as we bring this place to a close, this message to a close, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to let you sign your name across their heart, God, right where they're at right now, would they just pray a simple prayer of, Lord, you honored me by giving yourself for me on a cross, paying the debt of my sin. God, I want to return honor to you by giving you my life, my mess, my joys, and my future. Be my Lord and be my Savior, and have your way in my life. Lord, by your grace, may I live today and tomorrow, and may I know you as you want to make yourself known to me, I pray. And Father, for all of us, Lord, just help us to walk this message.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.